This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
As you probably know, next week the annual conferences of the TUI and the INTO will be taking place in Killarney, while the ASTI annual convention will be taking place in Wexford. On the agendas for each conference are issues affecting teachers up and down the country, from salaries and allowances to conditions of work and school resourcing. Joining me now to talk about what will be coming up over the next week and what could and should be discussed is Brian Mooney, guidance counsellor and columnist with the Irish Times. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we know what they probably will talk about. They'll talk about pay and conditions and how bad their lot is.
Yes.
But what should they be talking about? In the INTO, for example, primary school teachers.
Well, primary school teacher, well, obviously there's a new primary school curriculum which was introduced last autumn and it will be rolled out over the next many, many years. And for primary school teachers, as that is rolled out, they will be experiencing that in terms of the content in the classroom. And I'm sure that there will be issues raised by teachers in relation to the stresses that trying to deliver this very broad new curriculum is going to place on them.
Now, there used to be a thing about kind of religious formation and religious education and learning about other religions.
Yes.
Now it's more about moral formation, you know, get the moral fibre of the young people properly constructed.
There's an element of which, I mean, we're living in a very different world to the world in which you and I went to primary school. And, you know, obviously faith formation still takes place in Catholic schools, which are the vast majority of schools. But in an environment, let's be honest, Pat, where a huge number of the children in the classroom, their parents are not taking them to mass or to religious ceremonies. And for a lot of the young teachers, they may not be practicing themselves. So there's a tension there and there's been a tension.
So it's a charade, really?
Well,
like teachers who don't believe in stuff are spouting it out, and kids who don't believe what the teacher's spouting out know is all a bit of a sham.
Well, there's an element of that, and there's an element in which, you know, obviously there's been a small reduction in the amount of time, and the language that's being used now, as you say, is more in terms of, you know, formation of moral formation.
Be a good person.
And looking at other faiths and other religions, but still in all, the church, who own these schools, are determined that they will continue to be where faith is formed, and it should be, I believe, in my view, a parish-based. I think it would enliven and enrich parishes. But, you know, that tension is there and it will be an issue that will be long discussed by primary school teachers at that conference as it comes up every year.
Now, an extraordinary thing that they will have to talk about, believe it or not, is pornography in primary schools.
Yeah. It is amazing when you actually think about it that it's now 9 and 10 years of age is the age at which children are having access to it. And even if parents don't give their children smartphones, other children have them. And the effect is seen right throughout the whole primary school system. You know, the stresses and strains that children are now under because of the effect of social media. And of course, we had the two cases in the States there last week in which the design of these features are now being seen to be designed specifically to draw these children in. So how we actually deal with the effect of social media on really young children is an issue that is of huge concern to primary school
teachers. And very difficult for the teachers to handle, I presume. It may come down to controlling the platforms before we get too much older to deal with this problem effectively. What about absenteeism? It seems to be a growing problem, but why?
It is, and it may be actually related to the same thing. It may be related to the fact of children under enormous stress on their phones at night in their rooms, scrolling. the anxiety and stress, which obviously seems to have hugely increased since COVID times, is leading to absenteeism levels in right throughout schools, not only in primary schools, which was unheard of before. And maybe by virtue of the fact that children were at home for long periods during COVID, that belief that you always had to get up and go to school anyway.
I mean, there was no recrimination for absenteeism during the COVID period, and that became learned behaviour.
Yeah, well, and I think that would also, with the social pressures that children are under, may be a relevant factor as to why those stresses are so evident now in primary schools.
Moving on to the second cycle, secondary schools, be it TUI or ASTI, and they share a common problem with the primary sector, which is recruiting and retaining teachers. There's a massive shortage, particularly in the cities.
If you get a full-time job as a teacher in a second-level school or a third-level or at a further education college, it is a real struggle to be able to afford to live in Dublin or Cork or Galway or Limerick or any of the big urban centres. But if you're offered 8 hours or 10 hours as a contract in your first job, how can you survive? How can you physically even, you know, put a roof over your head, never mind food on your table? So the creation of full-time jobs is a huge issue. And even within full-time jobs, the ability to be able to live. So, I mean, in London, you have the London allowance. But if teachers got it, in our cities, you'd have to give it to civil servants, you'd have to give it to nurses, you'd have to... So it's a massive, massive issue. But I have noticed in my own years of teaching that effectively you'd get really young, good teachers in Dublin, and then in their middle to late 20s, they get into a serious relationship, and they, you'd be told they're off to a job in Kilkenny or in Carlow or in Galway.
Or where housing is cheaper and so on.
Where housing is cheaper, etc. And they can visualise having a life.
The other thing is, Brian, you do 4 years in a primary degree if you're going to be a secondary school teacher, and you become expert in theory in your mathematics, your physics, your history, your geography, whatever it is. Then you got to do 2 years of this postgraduate master's in education.
Yes.
So if you start off in college at 18, you're 24 before you earn a crust.
Exactly.
And even then, it might be only 4 hours.
And then it might only be 4 or 6 or 8 hours building up to a contract. So effectively, we need to look at the PME and whether, in fact, if we now need to use 2 years of time to train a teacher, surely in the second year, the teacher should be paid. You know, if the teacher is actually going forward into the second year of their training.
Now, the question of the Dubai effect. Yes. We know that many teachers, when they qualify, they head off either to the Middle East or they go perhaps to Australia, to Canada, other English-speaking areas. The Middle East is probably going to not that be that attractive for young teachers for the next period of time. What impact will that have? Will there be a huge horde of young teachers returning to Ireland looking for jobs?
Well, I remember when Joe McHugh was Minister for Education, he went out to Dubai to try and, you know, encourage the teachers to come back. And I don't know if it was particularly effective, because at the end of the day, when they go out there with the contracts they're getting, they can come home with a deposit for a house.
Yeah.
You know, and the reality of that, the financial reality of that, is what's driving them out there. Now, obviously, with the war going on, whether in fact they would be as enthusiastic to go out there, but effectively they can go elsewhere. And one of the reasons they're not coming back is if they're 6 or 8 years out there, they've 6 or 8 years under their belt, there is no way in which they get incremental credit for that.
So they start at the bottom.
They start at the bottom of the scale. So surely we should be able to at least give them, if they have evidence that they have taught full time for those 6 or 8 years, surely we should give them incremental credit.
Now, one of the big challenges for all of society, but in teaching, a very particular challenge is that of AI.
Yes.
I mean, particularly with the proportion of the Leaving Cert now that is project-based, which is done at home, with your own laptop, with your own chat GPT.
Yeah.
How are teachers reacting to this, both in the TUI and in the ASTI?
Well, there was a vote on the new 40% basically component for every subject being rolled out over a number of years. There was a vote last year. The ASTI voted to reject the new curriculum. The TUI voted to accept it. So if you look at the motions for the TUI conference and what their perspective is, they're raising serious issues that AI is now here. It's part of how society will be into the future. It is a huge resource, and we can see from the advantages that AI is bringing in so many different aspects of society. But how can we use it effectively in education, where effectively children are still able to think critically, still able to engage fully, so that they're developing their own skills rather than simply downloading it and presenting it as their
own work. Are we back to the days maybe when we have to lock the examination candidates in a room, give them a pen and paper and say, off you go. No laptops, nothing, no ChatGTP. It's just you and your paper and a pen.
But that's where we're coming from with some of the subjects which are now going to the 40% in a sense. And effectively, this year we've had the introduction for the new chemistry, physics, biology. And effectively, we have the problem relating to, are the labs there to be able students to do all this project work? From the TUI's perspective, they seem to be raising these issues. Whereas from the ASTI, if you look at the motions from the ASTI's conference this year, they're looking for, well, under health and safety, maybe we can refuse to do those experiments because it's not safe given the lab facilities. And when students are submitting work for the 40% component, we want to be indemnified against anybody raising an issue as to whether we in any way authenticate this work.
Okay, so someone gets something done at home. It could be with the help of AI.
Yes.
The teacher will take it but won't vet it. We'll just hand it straight over to the corrector via the department.
Well, basically, there are motions before the ASTI conference this year in which they are asking that they would have no responsibility other than to pass the students' work onto the State Exams Commission, and that they have no liability in any way to be authenticating the work because they don't have the skills to be able to know whether it's genuinely the students.
There's another extraordinary motion that is on the curriculum for the ASTI, and that is when COVID came about, they changed the whole regime of the orals. Now, before COVID, what way did the orals work?
To be honest with you, Pat, I believe it was totally chaotic. They recruited language teachers who then went into another school to do the orals. But when they went, there was nobody to teach their own students. So their own students, many of them who were doing the Leaving Cert, were without a teacher for a week.
And the teacher was paid on the double,
I presume.
And
the teacher was paid on the double to go to the other school. And then when the orals were on, and remember, it's 40% in Irish, so it's a serious commitment. You're trying to organise that oral in the normal school. So you're taking a child out of their class, they're sitting on a corridor for a number of hours, or maybe with their language teacher, they're missing their other subjects, you're trying to keep the tannoys quiet, keep kids away. To me, it was a chaotic system. But during COVID, obviously, they moved them to the Easter period, and it has never gone back. There was a review, and from my understanding, the determination both from the department and from the State Exams Commission is that we would never go back. They pay the teachers an awful lot more. They're at Easter, but still there are teachers who are yearning to go back to the situation.
There's a motion, isn't there,
regard,
on the ASTI agenda?
But, you know, to be honest with you, it's never happening. They can pass the motion away to their heart's content, but there's no way that we're ever going to go back to what was there previously. It's now taking place in the quiet of the school with nobody else there. The child turns up for an hour, does their oral. The teacher that's doing it is not leaving their own students behind unsupervised for a week. It's a far better system.
Will it be a turbulent week, do you think, for the conferences?
Look, for the teachers who work very, very hard and are very stressful jobs, it's a week away, it's a few days away with your colleagues. They will get the issues off their chest, which they always do, and there will be a lot of banter between them and the department officials who will go around, and the minister will get a rollicking, hopefully a good-humoured one. Hopefully we move away from the day when in the past we had people shouting at ministers down megaphones. Ultimately, it's a day to celebrate what we do in Irish education and hopefully move on and deliver what we deliver for children in our schools every single day of the school year.
And after ours, it should be great crack as well.
It will be, indeed.
Brian Mooney, guidance counsellor and columnist of the Irish Times, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.